Title of my message this morning is Thanksgiving is not over. Now, some of you are probably thinking, I can't stand the idea of another turkey sandwich. Thanksgiving is over in my house. Well, the celebration of eating the turkey and the Thanksgiving food, you probably want it to be over. Some of you might have had nightmares about the amount of slices of pie you ate over the weekend. Start walking, do some exercise, get back into the swing of things. The pumpkin on your front porch, Shannon, must be replaced with a snowman by now. But let's go to slide one. I found this. Thanksgiving is over. Now what? Well, you know what? Thanksgiving is not over. Slide two. I found this image here. And the turkey is telling Santa, December, fat boy, this month is for my holiday. Now hop in that sleigh and wait your turn. And it is so interesting. And I would say sad also how sometimes it seems when you go into certain stores, they just skip a certain kind of a season or a holiday or a special day. And you know, Thanksgiving is not over because in everything, every day, all the time, we are to what? Give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let's go there real quick. And I just want to read this. Then we're also going to go to verse 16 and 17. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We were talking about the will of God earlier, and I was thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. But in everything give thanks, not just the third Thursday of November and the day after, and that's it. In everything, every day, all the time. So let's go to verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always, not sometimes, not whenever you feel like it. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word. Give us your revelation, Holy Spirit. Give us the revelation of God, the Father, Holy Spirit. Renew our minds. God, I pray you would speak to us, Lord, that we would be changed today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What should never be over is your thanksgiving. For in everything we give thanks. You know, as I sat down to pray while my turkey was in the oven on Thanksgiving, I stopped mid-sentence when I was praying and talking to God and thanking him. Because I was thanking him for the things that he had done, and instead I began to thank him for what he, you know, not for what he has done, but I began to thank him for who he is. Because of who he is. Do you ever think about this? Because of who he is why he does what he does. Because of who he is, God is love. Therefore, his love never ends because God never ends. Think about that. And I just began, mid-sentence, I stopped thanking God, you know, for my wife and the kids. I'm like, well, wait a minute. God, I thank you for who you are. God, I want to be focused on the fact of, God, I am thankful. I have a thankful heart of who you are. I don't want to just be focused on what you've done for me, this vehicle I have and the life that I'm living and the house. God, I want to thank you for who you are. I mean, I just had a good few moments with God and just thinking about that and just thinking about him and thanking him for who he is. And I started thinking of this long list, and the list continues to go on and on and on, but this long list of who God is. All that God is affects us. Those who call on him as Father, as Savior, as Lord are impacted by who God is. And then all the people who reject him as Creator, God, Lord, Savior, Father are also impacted by who he is. For God is just and God is righteous. Therefore, all those who reject him do not carry his righteousness, do not have his righteousness. Therefore, they'll have no part with him for all of eternity. So because of who he is, those people who reject him will be impacted and affected by who he is. Today we're going to look at some scriptures in the book of Psalm. And, you know, King David spent much time with God. And that's why we have so many things to read about in Psalm of who God is. Because David realized who God was. He had enough time to just, you know, watch all that sheep, I guess, and play on his little harp. But he had a lot of time to discuss and talk with God and have time with God. He didn't even have a Bible, so he didn't even have a concordance. But it was that time in the precious moments with God. You see, the focus isn't and should never be the focus. The main priority isn't and should never just be on what he has done for us. Because if that's the case, we make him a sugar daddy. And our father isn't a sugar daddy. Because the moment he stops being your sugar daddy is the moment you go find some other sugar daddy. And you go find someone else that can meet your needs and help you out and give you the answers and help you find your keys and help you find your wallet and help you get the job and help. And, I mean, the moment we find someone else, then that becomes our new focus. We just need to have this relationship with him. And the cool thing, because of who he is, we benefit in this relationship, because in this relationship, we receive the benefits of who he is. And the benefit of who he is all that we need, is what we need. Therefore, we seek him first. Therefore, we put him first. Therefore, we are to give our lives. Therefore, we are to give our hearts. Therefore, we are to give our will up for his will, for his desire, for his plan. But rather on who he is, we are to know, but rather we are to know who he is and getting to know more about who he is. In our lifetime, in your lifetime, you will never fully know who God is. You'll know some. I mean, you know, it's a tragedy to get to that point. You've lived a long life and you have no idea who he is, that he'll actually say, we were talking about this morning, he'll actually say, depart from me, I never knew you. How is that? What a tragedy to have life and to live those years and to hear those words. I mean, those are the most horrible words that anyone will ever hear. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But Lord, Lord, I did this. Depart from me. I never knew you. Because you didn't have the relationship with him. You rejected his will and you took your will. You rejected who he is. You were only focused on what he can do. He became your sugar daddy, and that was it. But there was no relationship. You see, my mind can't contain all that God is. He's too great. But I will humbly surrender my life to live for him, that every day I will learn more and more about him. And every day as a day goes by, I get to draw closer in a deeper relationship with my father, with my best friend, with my comforter. Talking about the Trinity this morning. So my first point is, our God is great. Therefore, all his works are great. If he's great, everything he does is great. Psalm 145, verse 3. Let's go there. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. You know, I've heard people say that it is a sad time in the church because there is a generation who is not seeking the Lord. You know, that happened in the Old Testament, that a whole generation of people just chose to turn their back towards God, and God allowed them to fall into their sin. Until they decided and realized who they needed to turn to, who they needed to serve. They cried out to God. And when they cried out to God, what did God do? Turn his back? No, he heard their cry and he came to their answer and to deliver them. He does that today. Aren't you glad that he does that? So one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of your terrible acts. And I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. How many of us are talking about who God is to others? How many of us are talking and sharing with others the greatness of God, the glory of his kingdom, and talk about his mighty power? You know, this Christmas season, we have something great to talk about. But in every other time of this calendar year, we always have something great to talk about. The greatness of God, who God is, of his mighty acts, of his great love. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth." And there's a song. "Ah, Lord God, thou hast been..." All right. I'll save you. All right, so "you have made the heaven and the earth by your great," what? "Power, and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for you." You want to sing that for us, Shannon? No? Okay. All right. "Nothing is too difficult for you." This is a song. Hopefully, I pray in Jesus' name, it'll just continue to ring in your mind over and over throughout the day. "You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Nothing is too difficult for you. Number two, our God is righteous. We're going to stay in Psalm 145. Let's drop down to verse 17. "Our God is righteous. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him." Now listen, that doesn't just mean, "Hey God, okay, now he's near me." But that you call upon him with your life, your life's decisions, your heart. It's not just one time on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. you call on him and he just comes right next to you. That's not our God. Our God wants to walk with you every day, so your life needs to call upon him. "To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord." How many of your mouths are speaking the praise of the Lord? "And let all the flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. All that is righteous is because of him. Neither of us know what is right and just without knowing him." Think about that. Neither of us in this room know what is right and just without knowing him. If you don't know God, you don't know what right is. You don't know what just is if you don't know God. If you don't know what his word says. "Any and every judicial system that is honest." And some of you are like, "I don't know if there is any that is honest." All right. "So any and every judicial system that is honest and right, it's because of our God." Where did they find out what is honest? Where did they find out is right? It's through God, because he is righteous. There's no one like him. There's no one more righteous than our God. God didn't get to, you know, the how to be righteous from a book from somebody else. He's the one who's righteous. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he." This is why we know whether the things that we do is right or wrong. It's because God's Holy Spirit is in us, and because God's Holy Spirit is telling us who God is, revealing us what God is. God is right. So do not fib on those taxes. Our God is righteous. So that dollar bill that just fell out of that woman's purse, it's not, "Hey, oh God, thank you." It's pick it up and give it back to that lady. Our God is righteous. Psalm 119, verse 142 says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting right." It never goes out of date. Anybody ever open your fridge and you're hungry and you grab something, all of a sudden it's out of date? Maybe it's the milk and it got all lumpy. His righteousness, it never is outdated. It never runs out. It is always the top 10. It is always righteous. It is always there, everlasting. And it says, "And your law is truth." Psalm 116, verse 4 through 6, it says, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me." The fact that Jesus becomes our righteousness,
and we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, when we stand before God, God will welcome us into his kingdom. Why? Because we are clothed in the righteousness of not Jim, not Rick, but of Christ. Because my righteousness is filthy. As scripture says, it's as filthy rags. It's tainted. It's tattered. It's torn. It's ripped. It's muddy. It stinks. But because the righteousness of Christ is what clothes me when I stand before God. So God is our righteousness. He is righteous. Number three, our God is mighty. Mighty to save. Did I ask you for slide three? Yeah, slide four. Oh, I'm sorry. That's good. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I forgot that slide. Slide four now, please. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Anybody think of the song? You know the song? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. There's no other one. There's no other God like him. There's no other one mightier than him. There's no other one that we ought to serve. Yet there are times in our lives where we are tested who will serve. Ourselves or God. That's it. Ourselves or God. And you might say, but Pastor, I was trying to serve so-and-so the other day, so it's okay. Well, is that what God was saying to do? Again, are we going to serve God or serve ourselves? There was a verse that was shared this morning. Chanel was reading it in Sunday school, and her version mentioned selfish ambition. And that's what our will is. If we're just stuck on our will, we're focused on doing our will, we have a selfish, and we are ambitious to do what self wants. You know that's rooted all the way to Lucifer? That he wanted to be God. He wanted to be praised. He wanted to be first. He wanted to be just like God. He wanted to be number one. Selfish ambition. So when we have this crossroad, like Shannon said also earlier, this crossroad that it's our will or God's will, which road are we going to take? And because God is righteous and because God is mighty, he is the one that we ought to serve. What a mighty God we ought to serve. Revelation 1 verse 8. This is why we ought to serve a mighty God like him. Revelation 1 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That means if there's anybody in the middle, that we ought not to serve that person or that thing. For God is the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Almighty. You know, I grew up with that word Almighty in my mind, because when I used it growing up, it was gang related. It was a term related to a certain gang. I knew what the word meant. It was that it was better. It was mightier and better than all the other ones. But the dictionary says having complete power and being omnipotent. This is why our God is mighty, because he's omnipotent. He's got all the power. He doesn't ever lose it. He doesn't ever misplace it. You ever think about that? God misplacing his power? No. It's because it's who he is. He doesn't have a loss of memory, forget. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I do. That's who I am. No. He doesn't ever forget who he is. He doesn't ever forget what he does and what he has the ability to do. He's omnipotent. That's why he is mighty. And that is why he is mighty to serve and he is mighty to save. To know the Lord like this, to know the Lord as mighty, to know the Lord as righteous, to know the Lord as great, it requires a daily relationship with him. It requires a daily communication of talking with him and just shutting up and sitting and listening to what he's got to say. To know the Lord like this requires the understanding that without him, I got nothing. Without him, I'm going to be nothing. Without him, I'm going to end in a place of nothingness. I'm going to end up in a place that God doesn't want me to be. I have to have this understanding that without him, I have nothing. Whatever you accomplish apart from him, without him, you have nothing. Whatever you accomplish, whatever you accomplish through him and by him matters. But without him, without being in him or by him, it doesn't matter. Actually, God had some part in it because you had the life to accomplish whatever you were going to accomplish. So he actually had some part in it. But whatever it is without him has no eternal value. So it will be disposed of, burned in the fire. Be disposed of. All the trophies, all the accolades without him burned up in the fire, and it will amount to nothing. Not even ashes. It would just amount to nothing. So whatever we do, we do with him, through him, and by him, for that will truly matter. That will have eternal value. As we learn to understand who it is that we serve, we endure times of difficulty. We all going to do in times of difficulty. But in those times of difficulty, we reinforce who my focus is on. My focus is on my God, who is great. My focus is on my God, who is righteous. My focus is on my God, who is mighty. For in those times, we become wise because we continue to trust him. We continue to hold on to his word. We continue to place his will before ours, that his desire before ours, his life, his purpose, his good pleasure before ours. Really, who's mightier than our God anyway? And who can save us besides our God? No one can. So therefore, whatever I do, however I live, whatever I accomplish, it's by him and through him and with him. Psalm 33 states that the Almighty God is our creator, our savior, our deliverer, who is worthy of our trust and praise. Verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the habitation of the world stand in awe of him." Why? Because he's mighty. "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Let me encourage you. Blessed is the house whose God is the Lord. We're not going to go to there, but Ezra chapter 7. I have some question marks, and the Lord's not going to, it doesn't want me to go there, but I just wanted to share this. Ezra chapter 7, verses 6 through 10 talks about Ezra. And verse 10 is a key verse that Ezra prepared in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You see, we can know, oh, I know God is great, or I know God is righteous, and I read it. I know that God is mighty. But not until you actually understand, as you apply it to your life, will you get to do what David said as he wrote these Psalms. As he said that God is mighty, as he said that God is righteous. He didn't go by stating that just because someone else said it. He went by saying that and stating that because in his life he lived it and he believed it to be true. We are to become not just a hearer of these words, because just being a hearer of what I'm saying today just doesn't cut it. It's not enough. You ought to apply it to your life, live like it, speak like it, share as it is truth, because that's what you believe and that's what you're living by. For Ezra purposed in his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and he backed it up by doing it. Not just reading about it and having it in his memory, but he actually lived it and did it. And then if you read in Ezra chapter 7, favor was upon him. When I look at my life and look at the things that I have done by God's gracious hand and his help and his patience, I sometimes think, man, God, should I have done more? And I have some, you know, thoughts of, you know, regrets that I don't actually linger on too much. But God, could I have done more? And as I read the book of Ezra, I mean, this guy, he purposed in his heart and his lifestyle because of his lifestyle dictating who his God is and who was and who was mighty in him, and it was God. It affected this king's viewpoint, and favor was upon Ezra. You see, there's no other God like our God. So how are we going to live? Are we going to live that way? Are we going to live like he's mighty? Are we going to live like he is righteous and therefore we are clothed with his righteousness? Are we going to live like he is great? Or every now and then be so focused on self and not on him? May God help us when we veer away from him that we'll stop dead in our tracks and refocus and draw closer to him. Because scripture says that when we draw closer to him, and it was said earlier, God will draw near to us. But you know, in that part, in that little passage, you know what we have to do in order to draw near to God, for God to draw near to us? You read what it says? We need to tell the devil to leave. We need to rebuke him. We need to leave him. We need to turn away from him and draw closer to God, and God will draw near to us. We need to say no to ourselves, no to our will, and draw closer to God, and God will draw close to us. So there is no other God like our God. Today, I just encourage, implore you to choose to draw closer to him as your God, your Lord, and your Savior. And you're sitting there probably thinking, well, he's already my God. Are you satisfied where you're at? Are you satisfied where you're at? Do you see a point today where you could draw closer to him? Could you see that yourself where you're at today, that he is righteous? And you know what? I need more of his righteousness. He is full of mercy. You know what? I need more. He's full of mercy because he is merciful. So God, I need more of you. I need more of your mercy. Because God, you know the people that I work with. God, that's not saying anything about Sister Dow, because I do work with Sister Dow. But God, you are merciful. So I need to draw closer to you. I need to draw closer to you, God, because you are full of mercy. You are full of love. Today, as Joe plays the altar call videos, the first one is the one that I want us to just focus on and think about and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ today, I want to encourage you that God has created today. Today is the day for your salvation. If you will choose that this God that I'm talking about, who's great, who's righteous, and who's mighty, he is mighty to save, and he is the one that has sent his son to die for you, that you would find salvation through his son Jesus. And if that's you today, salvation is available. For those of us who are believers in Christ, we just can't sit there and think, oh, I'm all good. I'm good. I don't need any more. We have to be honest with ourselves and say, Father, if that's my response, forgive me. Show and reveal to me what I need. Show and reveal to me what I need more of in my life, more of you. More mercy, more love, more patience, more to be more long-suffering. God, I need you. And there's nothing else. God, you are mighty to save. God, you are mighty and full of compassion. Do I need more of your compassion for those who are lost today? None of us have an excuse in this room. None of us can say, I don't need to draw closer to God. I'm already there. And you are not already there. Be honest with yourself. So allow this song and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we would respond in the way that the Father would want us to respond. In Jesus' name.